You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 283 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Happy Monday. It's Kyle and Ben, and we're finally back and ready to talk some golf, get caught up on all the news over the last couple of weeks. For those who don't know, I have a little bit of a career change. And so my hours and Ben's hours are literally opposite. So like I'm working later in the day, Ben works early morning. So it's hard. He has to go to bed early because he's an early morning radio host. And it's just really hard to come home later and then you got kids and try to make it happen. But I think we may have a solution. So thanks for hanging in there with us. We're going to have fun tonight. Like I said, a lot of stuff to catch up on. Tonight's episode is brought to you by BetOnline, the number one sports betting website in the whole entire world. Sign up today, use your initial deposit, use coupon code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, and get a 50% welcome bonus. It's been a while since I've done the math, so here it goes. You give them $100, they're going to give you 50 back on top of it free to play with. You got the NBA playoffs right now. You got golf every weekend. I mean, tons of stuff you can bet on. Major League Baseball, literally every day, like tens of games every single day. So yes. A lot of fun, a lot of places to win, a lot of things to bet on. You got the online casino, can't beat it. Bet online is where the game starts. All right. So probably the biggest news over the last 2 weeks that we haven't talked about yet is Joey Lacava. After, you know, I guess close to 10 years or maybe longer, has left Tiger Woods with Tiger Woods' blessing and has jumped on the bag with Patrick Cantlay. It's put a lot of speculation out there that Tiger's – this is a signal that Tiger's done. That's probably overreacting. But what was your first takeaways when you heard that news? I mean, it's a big deal. There was no friction. There's nothing bad that happened. It's just, I think it was just, you know, after this last setback, probably just time.
No, first thing I thought was this whole ankle surgery that he just had is much worse than what we thought it was. Because that gave, I mean, it's like after the surgery, that's when Joey approaches him. As you said, he got his blessing. But it just lets me know that Tiger's probably not going to play in another tournament this year. Now, I will say it was awesome this week. They interviewed Joey and asked him, said, does that mean he's done? He said no. So apparently he and Tiger have talked, and I don't know if he was supposed to release that information or not, but he said he's basically going to play in a couple of tournaments a year or try to play in all four majors. So I think there's your answer of what he's going to do over the next up and coming years. He basically is not going to play in more than four tournaments a year. So people better get used to it because I don't even know that that's going to happen this year because he's just – they said that the recovery for this particular surgery, the season's going to be over by the time. And then he's got to train. He's got to – I mean, he's already – you saw where he get winded and he can't walk 4 days in a row, or you might as well say 5 days in a row because he's playing practice rounds and all that kind of stuff. So, right. I don't think we're going to – I mean, he's going to have to recondition himself yet again after this setback. So, we're just not going to see him this year. And he hadn't said that. That's just speculation. But that was my first thing. I didn't think he was done. I think he's just too competitive. I think if he had to eventually get some sort of waiver to have a card on the PGA Tour, he probably would have. I think he just wants to play. He's not going to do that. And they're not going to give him the waiver. But even though other players have said that they would sign a petition to get him a waiver so he could be out there. So it'd be interesting to see. Joey has caddied for Cantlay before as like a fill-in. I guess they hit it off really well. Yeah. And so – I think that was the thing is Cantlay was parting ways with his caddy. And it sounds like not that Tiger doesn't have the money, but Tiger did. Something was said that he was still paying Lacava.
Oh yeah.
To hang around. And, even though he wasn't playing in tournaments, he still was giving him some sort of retainer or something. And I'm sure it was details are never discussed with Tiger what he pays people, so I'm sure he was well taken care of.
For him to
but
not,
I think,
yeah. For him to go so long, for him to go so long without caddying, period, like kind of waiting with Tiger, for sure. Like there has to, there had to be, that has to be pretty substantial, which that's kind of weird. I mean, it's not like he's, this is new to him. That's what's kind of throwing me. Like this isn't new. This isn't something that it's like a curveball. Like why all of a sudden are we jumping off the bag? I mean, Joey and I don't know exactly how old he is, but like I kind of feel like whenever Tiger finally does throw the towel in, he could get on a bag very easy. I mean, look, he just jumped on Patrick Cantlay. So I don't know. It's kind of it does seem kind of weird to me. It seems different, a little bit more different than than I guess it should be. I don't know.
He's 50 something. They said that.
Yeah.
I don't know what. I did see that where they were talking about this weekend, and I don't know, man. Kyle, maybe he just got tired of sitting around. I mean, I know the money's good, and I know he's making money, but now, you know, at one point when Tiger was rehabbing, basically Joey was going over his house every day just to watch him hit, kind of find out what worked for him, what didn't work for him. He was spending probably 4 or 5 hours a day with him. But now with the other surgery, now he's just sitting around on his rear end doing nothing again. And so I guess that was the thing is when Cantlay parted ways with his caddy, he reached out to Joey and said, hey, if you're sitting around doing nothing, and we don't know the details, there may be a gentleman's agreement that he's going to do this until Tiger decides to come back full time.
And then he jumps Joey back on.
May go. They haven't said whether he will or won't do that. So that could be something where, you know, next year, the first major Tiger plays in, Joey LaCava may be on the bag for him. I don't know. They have not said yes or no to that. So that's what made me, because with this ankle injury and with this new surgery, I mean, he ain't playing the rest of this year.
Yeah.
So why not grab Cantlay's bag? And especially when you got to
win a major. I mean, you could win a major possibly, or yep. I mean, it's not like he's a scrub. Cantlay's pretty damn solid. Their first round together, he shot 67. So that's pretty solid.
Well, in these elevated events, I mean, the purse is bigger. So
that's true too. Like, that's true too. Like, you're getting, is that retainer? Was that retainer? I mean, if you're doing the math, if you can go jump on and get in some of these elevated events over the next 3 to 5 years, like, Cantlay's going to be in them more than likely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, set yourself up for retirement. The good thing is, Joe's used to waiting. There should be no issue jumping on the bag with Cantlay and playing slow. Like, he's used to hanging around just waiting for stuff to happen. So like the slow play thing should not be that much of an issue to him.
That slow play thing got addressed at the first part of this tournament, this Wells Fargo tournament. Jay Monahan even chimed in because Cantlay's best response was somebody asked him about it in one of the pressers leading up to it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't really pay attention to it because I'm not on social media, so I don't see it online or anything of that nature. And so it's like those guys are not saying that to his face that he's slow. And he apparently is one of those guys that doesn't read any headlines. So it's almost like out of sight, out of mind. In other words, his answer sounded like, I don't really give a crap. I mean, I'm going to play my game, and I don't really care what you think about it. So, but Jay Monahan said that the last tournament that they had, the match play tournament, apparently it finished 24 minutes ahead of schedule or something. I was like, yeah, but that's not the one they're talking about. They're talking about the slow play that bothers me with Cantlay is these 6-footers that he looks at from all 12 sides and does the finger pointing thing and then gets behind it and then marks it, looks at it from the other side before he ever decides to putt it, and it's a straight-up hill 6-foot putt. That's the time in the fairway that they're taking. I didn't have much of an issue with that, like in the Masters when they were complaining about that. That's one of those things where wind and everything, that. But when he gets around the green and he walks, he's got a chip, and he walks up to the green 4 and 5 times to see where he's going to land the ball, it's like, bro, let's pull the trigger.
What could you be looking at?
Like, that's the thing. I mean, you've hit so many golf balls in your life. What the hell has this green done and changed in the last 20 years?
Played this golf course multiple times. Yeah.
Now they watch film on the golf. Like, literally, there's a site that they go to that gives them, like, every – it's just shot after shot after shot, roll after roll. So, they, you know, people pull film for them. Like, what are you doing? You're walking up 20 yards to look at where you want to land it, and you're doing that 4 and 5 times before you finally hit it. And then you don't hit that great of a shot.
Maybe Joey's a better cat. Maybe he's got a better caddy now, and he won't necessarily have to do that anymore. Maybe that's the key.
Maybe that was part of the problem, because he was not talked about for slow play during this tournament. I watched a lot of this tournament. I was able to see some of it, and so the Wells Fargo, and there weren't any kind of snide remarks about his slow play. So that it could be the darn caddy for all I know. Maybe he didn't trust the other guy. Who knows?
Maybe so.
That's another conversation.
Let me tell you what we Ben and I trust, and that is basically everything that Bad Birdie Golf makes.
Yep.
I've got on the AirDrop Polo right now. These things look great. They feel great. I mean, I'm pumped. I've never been like looking forward to hot weather, because I'm going to be like one of the more comfortable people out there, because these shirts are light. They breathe really well. And then they look good. I mean, they're so bright, like they have to reflect heat, I would imagine. Like, there's no way that heat can be absorbed into these shirts, because they have to reflect it. So use coupon code DAD15. We really appreciate all the support. You guys have been, you've been like firing up the sales on these. So it's making us look good. So we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Keep it coming. Keep it going. So they actually have, pants and shorts and stuff too. Tons of hats. You can put together, you can color coordinate really well. You can from the head all the way to the bottom. So, check them out, show them some love. Bad Birdie Golf. I don't know their slogan. So
they don't have a slogan.
I don't even have one. So, all right.
Let's not give them one right now. Let's wait.
We'll come up with one later. But
okay.
Moving on. Probably the most controversial. That was the newsworthy, and then the most controversial thing that I'm still curious to see how it eventually plays out, and if Taylor ends up going to try to qualify. He may have already passed the deadline. He may not be able to. Surely he can. He may auto get into one of the last, qualifying spots, just because of his world ranking or how he played last year or whatever. But the USGA reworded one of their qualifications to get an exemption into the U.S. Open, specifically to keep Taylor Gooch out of the U.S. Open. And there's no way possible you can argue otherwise. There is absolutely no way you can argue that this was not specific for Taylor. This is what happened. Last year, Taylor, remember, they thought they would be able to play. Remember, he was like waiting out in the parking lot, waiting for the ruling.
Yeah.
If he could play in the tour championship, because he's made all or the playoffs. Sorry. Excuse me, the playoffs. He's made the points before he went to live. He qualified, whatever. Well, if you qualify for the tour championship, which he still did with all of his points, if you qualify for the tour championship, you auto get into the next U.S. Open for the next year. So last year.
Well, you did.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, everybody else did. So if you qualified for the tour championship last year, you should be eligible for the U.S. Open. It's been that way forever. What they did was they changed the word qualified. Okay. So they went in, they changed the word qualified, and they changed it to eligible. So. And this is after the fact. Okay. This is not this. So like he's qualified. The ruling stated he was in. They changed the rule. Now the rule states he's out. So it's like they took away his invitation. He's the only person that rule applied to. Like, that's it. Like, they didn't do that to like, oh, we got to fix this 100-year-old rule, whatever. No, it was specifically designed to keep Taylor Gooch out. I don't see how they keep losing lawsuits. I don't see how they keep losing these court cases because it's clearly collusion. Like, they're clearly colluding all together to keep these guys out. And I don't know how much more obvious you can be.
Number one, this is horse hockey. I mean, this is – Phil has tweeted about it and talked about it. And
Phil's gone off.
You know, how disappointing it is, because you're right. Yeah, Phil has gone on multiple things. He even went off on Colt Nost on another Twitter thread, which got a little personal. But and
Colt is – stop you real quick. Colt is, like, so off bit. Like, he is so carrying water. Like, and yes. It's so obvious. And I like him a ton. And, like, for example, he made a statement. So, this is typical in an argument when you know you're wrong. What you just do is you move the goalpost, or you deflect away from the point. So, someone said, you have all these tours, you know, would be eligible for the U.S. Open based off the criteria and whatnot, if they – you know, had every single tour in the whole world except for the LIV Tour. And his response are, why should the LIV Tour be more deserving than the other tours? It's like, no, Colt, nobody's asking to be more deserving. They're just asking it to be equal. That's it. Like, just play.
Yeah, they're asking to be a part of it.
Everybody play by the same rule. Like, play by the same rules across the board and let the chips fall where they may. Like, that's all anybody's ever asked for. I was very disappointed with his whole tweet stream argument back and forth with Phil. He made no good point, and he's very good. He's a great announcer. I love him on the broadcast. He made not one single good point through that whole thing.
Well, I did like the fact that at one point in time he was fishing for Phil. You come on my podcast to talk about it. And Phil said, no, I'd much rather just stay irrational here on social media. This is much more fun.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about Colt being irrational. He wasn't talking about himself being irrational. Phil asked a simple question, like you said. I saw where you chimed into, and you said that's the thing. We're not asking for extra love. We just want the exact same love that everybody's getting. Yeah. And, we're not asking. Nobody's asking. That's the thing. And it's not just him. It's Jay Monahan. It's all the people within the PGA Tour that they're always like, these guys want to be treated special. No, they don't. They don't. They know they're being treated special on LIV. They know they're making their money there. That's the whole reason they went there.
Yeah.
They're getting their special attention. Now, they just want to be treated equally, like you're treating everybody else. But you are pissed because they defected and decided that your product did not pay well enough, and so they jumped jobs to get a better paying job. That's the thing that everybody keeps talking. They're going against the people. No, they're not going PGA Tour. What they did is, it would be like Kyle just talked about him changing work. He found a better position. Like, that's, you know, when I left at my last job, I found a better position. That's exactly what these guys, that's what they do for a living. They play frigging golf for a living. And these one guys are going to pay them way more than the other guys did. So he's like, okay, that's what we're going to go do. We're going to go make money. That's any other, nobody gets criticized for leaving a job for more money in any other sport or any other career, except the PGA Tour feels like the shield has been tarnished. And I, you know, this changing of the one word, that's petty. I hope Taylor Gooch sues the ever living piss out of him. And not only do they have to let him in, he wins money out of it, and they have to come with a payout for all those billions that they got stacked away that they won't share with anybody. And this is not, again, this is, Kyle and I talk about this all the time, because that Colt even brought this up in his argument. He said people are just being anti-LIV and anti-PGA. No, Kyle and I have talked about it. Be pro golf. Just enjoy golf and quit judging a guy on what he makes as far as a living is concerned. Because listen, you heard Greg Norman say it. You heard Nelly Korda say it. The LPGA Tour is fixing to go through this, boys and girls, because Greg and them are trying to get a women's tour up, women's LIV, and have co-ed events that we've talked about would be a very cool thing to do. And these women, and what are you going to do then? Because y'all keep saying all the time, everybody keeps saying, How come the women don't make what the men do? Well, they're about to. They're going to do it on another tour. So get your popcorn ready, because the Nelly Quarters of the world and, you know, the Lexi Thompsons of the world and people like that that love to make money, they're going. There's no reason for them to stay.
There's absolutely no reason for them to stay whatsoever.
No. And there's stuff that goes on behind the scenes of the LPGA Tour where some players are catered to better than others, especially when it comes to, like, language barriers. They've even had to change the rules where you better make sure you know English in order to understand the rules, because people were getting away with breaking rules by basically saying, I just don't understand. Well, that's not how that works. Like, you got to play by the rules, regardless of what language you speak. So some of these players are not happy with the way they've been treated on the LPGA Tour. And if Greg Norman and this crew creates a LPGA Live, or whatever you want to call it, Ladies Live, and like Nelly said, and others have said, they enjoy playing in events with the guys. Well, he's already promised there will be co-ed events between the two of them. Look out. Is he going to shake up the LPGA Tour next?
Yep. So we got the next Live events coming up this weekend in Tulsa. I'm anxious to see that one after they started to hit their stride, the attendance and whatnot. I guess it's going to be on the CW again this coming weekend. Cedar Ridge Country Club should be electric. I'm hoping that Taylor does go qualify somewhere, and I hope he gets in, and I hope he wins, because that would be that. There's nothing that could beat that. He's playing really good golf.
He's playing hot golf right now.
There's no way he should not be in. So
getting back to that Colt Knows thing, I did tell Colt. He goes, well, what have they done to? He said something like, well, what have they done to prove that they can still hang with these guys? And that was when I replied to him. I said, if you'd look at the top five that finished in the Masters, not that that's the top field and everything, but three of the guys were Live guys that finished in the top five.
One of them's like 52.
Yes. So when you talk about what are these guys doing to hang PGA Tour guys, well, there's your answer. And I get it. It was in the Masters. Matt, you and I have talked about it. The field's a little bit more broad in the Masters than any other tournament. It's not the U.S. Open. But with upcoming majors coming up and some of these guys being qualified to play in said majors, if this happens again and another 3 to 5 finish in the top 10, I'm done hearing that argument about good golfers are good golfers. I'd still take DJ up head to head against anybody any day of the week, even though he only plays 3 rounds of golf a weekend.
Exactly. A couple quick shout outs. To a couple of our buddies who have been playing really good golf. So Blaine Barber Monday qualifies to get into the Korn Ferry event. I'm not exactly sure. Oh, it's in Huntsville. He Monday qualifies for the Huntsville Open or whatever it is. The Korn Ferry event finishes with a top 10 finish. It's unfreaking believable. Congratulations. He auto gets into the next one. There just so happens to be a 2-week layoff, so I think it's actually not this coming weekend but the next weekend. But it's awesome, but this is kind of what sucks. So the one that he finished the top 10 in, I believe, was either the first or the second one of this next 4 reshuffle. Okay, so he auto gets in the next one. He has to have a top 25 to get in the next one. If he doesn't, he's got to wait for either 1 or 2 events for that reshuffle, because after it reshuffles, he's pretty much good for the whole rest of the season. So like, he will shuffle back in. He'll get the last, I think there's another 4 to maybe another 8 starts, and he should be good for the rest of the season. But the way the timing was, it just kind of, there could be a little gap. He's hot right now. He's feeling confident. I think he'll be good. Another guy, buddy, Trace Crowe from Auburn. I'm not exactly sure how he got into. I got to do a little bit of research. He got into the Wells Fargo, made the cut, and had a top 30 finish. Spectacular. I think that's probably, you know, it may not be his first PGA event, but definitely it's one of his. If he's ever made a cut before, there's not many, and he made the cut at a very star-studded in a star-studded field at a very tough golf course. So shout out to Trace Crowe. before we move on to our last topic, we also want to give a shout out to Primo Golf Apparel. We talk about their joggers a lot. Okay. Ben and I are jogger guys, but their shorts are absolutely the best shorts that are out there. Like I have four colors. Yes. And I'm waiting on the restock on the white and the khaki, because I'm getting the white and the khaki too. Like, they're,
I just got my white and khakis in.
Did you? Yeah. They don't have my size. He told me they're about to restock it. So, and I mean, you just can't beat these things. Like, they're stretchy. They're breathable. They're not going to be your baggy old school. Like, they're athletic fit shorts. I'm telling you, they're just spectacular. You will not be disappointed with Primo shorts. You got to get them. There's six colors. You can get all six. They're like $70. And then you can take 15% off with coupon code DADPOD15, DADPOD15. Take another 15% off. I mean, you go get FootJoy, you're spending $80-$90 on a pair of shorts. Peter Millar, you're spending over $100. I'm telling you, these are better than all those. 100%. Ben, correct me if I'm wrong. They're spectacular. So
yes.
Primo
yes.
Golf Apparel, you got to check them out. Save big, and just you're gonna feel great about it. And they just finally stocked their new hats. Their hats, they got, Ben, you need to check it out. They got some absolutely baller.
Oh, hats. I hadn't looked at that.
Absolutely baller hats. They just stocked them. So check those guys out. All right, moving to the last thing. So we had.
Hold on before you move forward. I looked it up because I thought he played earlier in the year. We just forgot about it because it was literally the first of the year. Trace finished T63 at the Honda this year too.
That's right. Yep.
And he played at the Honda, and he made the cut. He just finished two over. So yeah, much better finish at a top 30 finish, finished T27 as this weekend was concerned.
Two cuts on the PGA Tour this year. That's making some bank too, right? To help you get through.
Exactly.
So good job there. We got to get him on the pod. All right. So also over the last couple of weeks, Ben and I had another round, and I've been waiting to play this game. We finally played Hammer. And it's electric, absolutely electric. So Ben and Nate, so it was me, Ben and Nate, and then another buddy of ours. We actually we haven't all played together in a very long time. So me, Ben, and Nate, another buddy of ours. It was Nate and Ben versus me and Dan, our buddy, and we're playing Hammer. And I think what did we do? Started, it was like $2 hammers. And we doubled it each time. So
yes,
it's a ton of fun. The way we played it was, if you didn't use the hammer, if you don't know the rules of the game, basically, you flip a coin, and either one person or the one team, whoever wins the toss starts off with the hammer. So at any point in that time, if the bet starts at two, at any point in time in that hole before the last ball is holed, you can call hammer and double the bet. And then it passes the hammer back to the other person or the other team. Well, they can also hammer it back and double the bet back. Like, let's just say you start off, you hit one down the middle, you hammer. So it's the bet's double. Well, then the other team goes, they hit one right down the middle, and they're like, heck, let's go hammer it back. So they hammer it back. You throw one up there tight on the green, you can hammer it right back, double it again. I mean, it can get fun. I think we got up to like the most expensive one we had was a $32 hole that we tied, and then there was a $16 hole that we lost. So it was a ton of fun. Ben and Nate almost fought over a hammer early in the round, which was a par five where I hit the green in two, and Nate called hammer because he thought my ball rolled off the back, and it didn't. He didn't even confirm it. He didn't.
No, and I was on top of the hill and saw it didn't roll off the back.
And then
he's out there in the fairway, and he just goes, I'm hammering that bitch. And I was like, no, we're not. No, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I told him when he got out there, I said, hey, future reference, this was on seven. This was on seven. And I said, future reference, there's a team meeting before we hammer again the rest of the round.
So he said, Kyle, I just want to let you know, if this is anywhere but on the green, I'm hammering.
Yes. And then so Kyle sticks it pin high from 230 out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of the best shots I've ever hit. I said, and I knew it was good. And about halfway there, I said, hammer that. And when it hit, the greens are so hard, he thought it was going to go off the back. So he goes, hammer, hammer. So as soon as I laid eyes that it was on the green, I hammered it immediately right back. I made birdie. That was a good one. And we had to have it because we were grinding for ties most of the time. We didn't have a lot of opportunities to really win any big ones. And then the last hole, I'm not going to rib on Ben too much because he did not play his best. Let's just say that. He did not play his best.
I had a really bad day.
Yeah, the last hole, I was like, I think y'all had the hammer. I said, Nate, go ahead and hammer on the tee box, and I'll hammer it right back. And he goes, you promise? I said, yeah. He goes, hammer. And then I hammered it right back. So, like, right off the bat, we're at, like, $8 or $12. I can't remember exactly how it was. I can't remember. I can't really remember how the hole played out. But I had about a 5 or 6 footer for par. Ben was off the green for par. Nate did not have a close par putt. So I think Nate ended up.
Yeah, it was between you and him. Y'all were both about. He was right outside of you.
Okay. Well, it was.
He thought it was going to come down between you and him.
Yeah. Ben's off the green, putting for par. How far? 25 feet, maybe?
Yeah, 25, 30 feet. I was in the fringe. So that's why, I could have been in the rough and I probably would have putted it the way I was hitting my wedges. So the putter was coming out regardless. I'd already thrown the wedge at this point on like back behind there. I'd already thrown the wedge.
And Ben doesn't throw clubs. So it was one of those days. Well, of course he runs it in for par from 30 feet off the green, impossible putt. And it was one of those where like literally halfway there, you knew it was going in. Like you just knew it was going in, and it just gets right to the hole and just drops in so perfect. And I was just like, un-freaking believable. So immediately Nate hammers because that makes me have to make my putt. And I missed it.
The best part about the whole thing was me after I putted it, I didn't look at Nate, who's my teammate. I looked at Kyle to see his reaction.
It was
honestly, it was like I had just taken a puppy away from him.
Yeah.
That was one of those where he looked at me like Kyle standing behind his putt and he's like reading it in my, and he just goes,
you have to be kidding me.
He drops his head, shakes his head, doesn't say anything, just shakes his head. Of course, Nate, who's probably had a few beers at this point in time, it's just going absolutely bananas behind him and talking all kinds of trash. I didn't say a word because I couldn't, because I knew I was about to shoot 90 plus that day. So I couldn't say a word. There was nothing I could say. What could I say? I waited to the last hole to make one shot all day.
So I had to make par. I had to make the putt to tie. And of course I was shook. So I didn't even, I was totally shook, so I didn't even scare it. Nate hammered. The second it dropped, he hammered. So then I got to make this the tie, and I was mentally defeated before I even putted the ball. So it was a lot of fun.
We'd already taken his candy away from him at that point. He was upset.
Y'all got to play this game. I'm telling you. It's great for two on two. It's great for one on one. In theory, you could do one on one in a foursome and you're hammering. It's one. Like you got three matches going at once. Like you could have, it could get like crazy. It's a very, very fun game. That may be the game I play from now on.
Got the idea from Jordan and JT.
Yeah, the Full Swing documentary.
Full Swing documentary where, if you're watching that documentary, you'll hear little quips, little sayings that they'll say, and I'm immediately like Googling, like, what does that mean? What is he talking about?
Yeah.
And sure enough, that's what Kyle and I did in that documentary. they're talking to, I think it was JT, and they're talking to him. He's like, well, I mean, Jordan and I were playing Hammer, and we're like, what the hell is Hammer? Like, we're like, what is Hammer Golf? What is Hammer Golf? Yeah. And, of course, the first thing that comes up, I think, in my Google search, because I started dying laughing, was like one of those drivers that they used to sell at midnight on Golf Channel, the Hammer.
450-yard driver?
Yes, that I can give. And I was like, yeah, that's not it. So I, like, keep scrolling, and it's like Hammer betting. And so Kyle and I both were, like, texting that night. We're going, we got to play this. We've got to play this game.
It's fun. It's my
well worth it.
I played with a buddy of ours, David Brooks. I played him in nine holes before that in Hammer. It was hell, it's fun in a nine hole game. Like that is a fun game. If you have a fun group and you don't mind especially if you hammer early, it could get very tense. Because it can get. Yes. I mean, if you're doubling, it depending on what you start on. If you're doubling each time, like, it don't take but two or three hammers and you got a, $20 to $40 hole. So it's a lot of fun though. We had a blast. It was good to play with Nate, good to play with you. So it always is. So we'll have to do it again and get some content. So Nate had a pretty good pick. There's a good picture of me in the fairway, on 18 actually. And, I hit it on the green. And of course at our course right now, if you hit it on the green, it goes off the back. So I hit one on the green, rolled off the back, and Nate's like lounging beside me for like intimidation. It's good. It's on our, I think it's, is that on, was that on Instagram, on our story or something at one
point? Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah. Yep. So
it's on Instagram, Twitter. And since it's on Instagram, it actually went to the Facebook thing too. So it's on everywhere. The greens, the frustrating thing, and I just can't make myself do it, is I told Kyle, I actually struck the ball really, that's probably the worst score I've ever had for the way I struck the ball. Now, the problem was missing the greens, my wedge game absolutely was trash. I was chunking balls, couldn't even get it to the green with a wedge. I mean, I'm putting from 20 yards off the green because I've just lost total confidence. Put the 60 up and started chipping with a freaking 52. So I basically was chipping with a gap wedge because I just felt like that's the only way I could get hit the ball solid. Tight lies. And this has happened to me before. It happened to me when I went down to Stream Song. I put the 60 up. I just had to quit hitting it and tried everything. Put it in the back of my stance, put it in the front of my stance, and then trying to hood it to nothing's working. And so when you're not hitting greens and your wedges aren't working, there were a lot of doubles that came about. And so, and when you don't back those up with any birdies, the score got high. So it was a good, for me, it was a good note to end on, a little more than not beating Kyle, but just finally something went right for me for the day. And it just happened to be the last putt on the last hole.
There you go. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Great show. Glad to be back. I think we might have our scheduling thing worked out. So y'all stay tuned for hopefully the next episode. In a couple of days. So have a great start to your week, and we'll talk again soon. It's episode 283 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod, brought to you by Bet Online.
Always stroking.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod, always stroking.